If you have not registered in this project, then do it now while you have the opportunity. The minimum investment is only $350.
Well, it's not actually. It was a deep fake video that popped up late last year. And it looks like and sounds like Dick Smith, but it's not deep Dick Smith, thanks to AI. You know, it's one of those. There's so many pros and cons with artificial intelligence. In the world of AI and deepfakes, a lot of distressing cases of fake pornographic images spreading on the internet. The latest incident prompted a police investigation after at least 50 girls from a Victorian school had their pictures manipulated to end up with, you know, nude photos, etc. With more on that, it's a subject we've touched on many occasions, AI. Joining me now, our IT and gadget guru, man who's got a terrific website too, techguide.com.au. Stephen Fenwick is on the line. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Richard. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. But a lot of pros and cons, isn't there, with AI?
Yeah, definitely. AI is something that is obviously going to benefit a lot of people when it's used for good, but it can also be used for other nefarious purposes, like we've seen. The deep fakes, we've seen them on social media platforms. I think there are cases in the courts over some use of deep fakes and fake other fake ads like that as well. But in the case of this that young kid in Victoria, what he did is surprisingly easy to do with AI.
Look, I was about to say that really the technology to do that's been around for a while, but unless you're a whiz on in the past on Photoshop or something, it wasn't that easy. But now, with the software and AI, anybody can do it, can't they? It's very easy.
That's correct, yeah. Well, that's one of the benefits of AI. There's a thing called generative AI, which can generate images, can touch up images, change images. And this is what we've seen here. It was also part of what Apple released last week. Their AI, but part of theirs is a what they call an image wand. So you can, if you can draw like a really rudimentary image, like a drawing, it can suggest a way better version of what you've just drawn. So there are so many ways it can be used, but in this instance, it's obviously been used for purposes that they weren't really designed for.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Tesla and SpaceX owner Elon Musk has lashed out at this partnership between OpenAI and Apple. He reckons the threat to data security will make him ban iPhones at his companies. Do you think he's, you know, drawing a long bow here, or he's got a case?
Mate, I think Elon needs to take a pill and a lie down, because none of that what he said is right. There's a bit of a history between he and OpenAI. He was initially one of the founding members of OpenAI, an initial investor of OpenAI, and when he tried to make himself CEO, wasn't in agreement with the direction the company was going, and has since had a massive falling out ever since. So any mention of OpenAI is going to fire Elon Musk up. And the fact that they're going to partner with Apple what Apple's going to do, Apple's going to have Apple Intelligence on their devices.
Right.
But for those more complex tasks, it's going to give users the option to go to ChatGPT, which is owned by OpenAI. And he was jumping up and down about saying, oh, well, if they do that, I'm not going to let people. He's suggesting that it's not secure and not private, whereas Apple has been pretty adamant that anything they do, is most of it's on device. Even if it does go off the cloud, into the cloud, they've got a private cloud with special architecture to keep it all anonymous, no data retained. So Elon Musk is basically just having a bit of a tantrum, but none of the things he said is actually true in terms of privacy and the risk of having an iPhone.
Right. Look, my local supermarket is a Woolies Metro, and I've got a BWS, and it was only after about, you know, 2.5 years of using all these Woolies stores, somebody said, have you got an everyday rewards card? And I said, no. Anyway, I've now got one, and I clocked up again yesterday. They said, oh, you've got $10. Do you want to take it? And that's the second time in a few months I've had these $10 reward things from my everyday rewards cards. But there are so many scams now that are focusing on these shopping points and reward-based things. There's a heap of them. I had another one yesterday. Riley was saying he got one this morning. But the scams are alive and well, and this seems to be a new one.
Well, cyber criminals are trying every possible angle right now. It's tax time, so there's a lot of cyber criminals using that as a ploy. But these reward schemes as well, it's another typical phishing scam. So phishing is when they want to make you think that it's someone else. They want to make it's Coles or IGA or Woolies or whoever, the Nike store, whatever it is, and they want you to click on the link. That's their objective. Click here. It's about to expire. You're going to miss out. Click here. You could then be taken to this completely fake website that just harvest all your identity, your information. So they're never going to – Coles are never going to text you about points about to expire. I don't think points ever expire. Loyalty points don't ever expire. So that's one thing to know. No, they're not going to text you specifically to tell you to use your points. That's not going to happen. This is a scam, and if you receive this scam, this text message, and you didn't have a card from that shopping centre, then you'd know it's a scam. Now, for the people who happen to have a card or that for that shopping centre, then they're going to think, they might think it's true. It's like if I receive a phishing email from Westpac Bank, I know it's fake because I'm not a Westpac customer. So a lot of people might have been caught out, but most people will realise it's a fake.
Yeah, been a lot of hacks, a lot of big ones. The private Australian health insurer Medibank apparently didn't have multi-factor authentication protections on its private network when it was hacked. The Office of the Australian Information Commissioner alleges a lack of multi-factor authentication at Medibank led to the 2022 data hack. And that was almost 10 million customers. Are our big companies, a bit behind the eight ball when it comes to protecting their internet?
Some need to catch up with others. The two-factor authentication now, I think, is essential. Like, for those who don't know what we mean, two-factor is your password is factor one, and then factor two is a code you get sent to your mobile or your email to prove that it's you. So if someone's got your password and's trying to get into your account, if you've got two-factor authentication, they're not going to receive the code to unlock your account. Only you have that because it's your account and your phone. So that's an added layer of protection. Now, the fact that a lot of the companies didn't have that, they're starting to catch on and offer it now to people. Some companies make it mandatory to have two-factor authentication. They won't let you just have a password. But other companies are just drifting along just with the single-factor authentication. If ever there's a chance, my advice, if ever there's a chance to have two-factor authentication, take it. That extra 30 seconds you spend waiting for a code is a lot better than the hours of agony you're going to try to find if you lost your money or lost your identity.
Yeah, interesting. You'd be happy three in a row now for your mighty Rabbitohs, Stephen.
Looking all right. Yeah, they've found their groove a little bit, mate. They've got their mojo back, and it doesn't hurt that Latrell Mitchell's playing well again, back in form. He's off to play for New South Wales, though. I think good choice by Michael Maguire, though. I think he's going to provide that X factor that the Blues need. He's going to, I think, not only inspire his teammates, but also the Queenslanders are going to be a bit wary. They don't know what he's going to do, so hopefully we'll get the result.
He's still got a short fuse, though, as it was displayed again last week when he got sin-binned.
Yeah, but that was it. How many people have you seen run in after a player's get decapitated and that they have a bit of argy-bargy? Yeah. I've not seen one of them sin-binned.
Yeah.
The fact he was sin-binned for just walking in and pushing a guy who's took Cameron Murray's head off, that's what every team does. But yeah. Latrell Mitchell does it, he gets sin-binned. It's not fair.
Right. And you've got Manly this week, haven't you, on Friday?
Yeah, Saturday night. Yeah, Saturday night.
Oh, Saturday night. Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday night. It's going to be, we're missing our Origin players, and so are they. So I think it's going to be a pretty even contest.
All right, mate. Good to talk to you. You're tipping the Blues next week?
Yeah, I think so. I think that he's got the team right. And look, they weren't that far off last game. I was actually talking to him at a South function the other day. It was a reunion of the anniversary function for the 2014 Grand Final victory. And he was saying, look, we were in the game, just a couple of chances didn't come off. But no, I think we might take him down there.
Go the Blues, and good luck to your mighty Rabbitohs on Saturday night, Stephen. Good to talk to you. We'll catch up next Tuesday. Have a good week.
Thanks a lot, mate. Talk soon.